Hello and welcome to the next episode of ADHD Mums. Today we have Jessica Burgess back again, psychologist and friend. How are you, Jess?
Good, Jane. How are you?
Good, good. I always do an update on how long it took us to get started. It is 11:30. I ran over time, I made a coffee, and then Jess and I spent 25 minutes talking. And then I thought, we should really get going. So this is where we are now. Jess, if you haven't listened to Jess, I'm going to put the other episodes in the show notes. She has done multiple episodes now. She's done high performance, anxiety, and relationships. I'm going to add all those show notes in there if you like the sound of her with all of her information. If you'd like to contact her, Jess is located on the Sunshine Coast. So who is Jess? For anyone who doesn't know, she is a psychologist, a rapid transformational therapist, which I reckon she is that title, actually. Jess has always got the wisdom. She is a hypnotherapist, an EMDR therapist who works from a holistic approach. She works with a range of people from clients on the NDIS to women's health to CEOs, business owners, and veterans. Jess offers online courses and workshops based on evidence-based interventions to support women to work through the trauma, limiting beliefs, and unhelpful habits to improve their wellness and quality of life. What an introduction.
Jane, set me up for success.
I know. So we are going to do hypnosis today. There's going to be people that are going to be on this podcast going, I have no idea how hypnosis could possibly help. And Jess came up with this topic as she does. So I think before we get started, we should do a bit of an introduction to what is hypnosis from Jess and how it relates. Let's start with that.
Thank you, Jane. Great to be here again. There's a lot of stigma I find for people with hypnosis. And when you say the word straight away, all these ideas about what it is comes to mind, whether it's from the movies where we see everyone have some like trance and mind control and do something that they don't want to do, or the stage hypnotherapists where they get them being the chicken or walking around the room. Now, there's a difference between the stage hypnotists and general therapeutic hypnosis. So for this one, we're focusing more on the therapeutic hypnosis, but essentially it's simply a deeply relaxed state that we can enter that helps silence that monkey mind that you have to provide new suggestions to your mind. At its simplest form, that is all it is. And it's something we actually enter on a daily basis. So if you're driving the car and you find yourself drifting out for a moment, we're all doing that. You're meant to focus on driving, of course, but we can enter that daydreamy state. That's a form of hypnosis. First thing in the morning when you wake up, and you might be coming to the room, you're entering a different brainwave state called the alpha theta state. And these are your most suggestible states, which is hypnosis. Same last thing in the evening. And even when you're in the shower, you're entering a similar hypnotic state. So what we do through hypnotherapy is we use this relaxed state to give your mind new suggestions or to help you begin to identify the root cause of your problems and what's going on for you. So then we can install some better ones.
I love it. Let's address the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Which I think will be exactly what I'm thinking is, that sounds really nice and heaps easier than talking to somebody about everything that's gone wrong in your life over a long period. A lot of people with ADHD have probably gone to multiple therapists, psychologists, counselors over a long period, and they're like kind of talked out because you have to start from the beginning. Unfortunately, you can't give someone a big stack of your report and be like, this is all the shit that's wrong with me I've spoken about before.
Yeah.
So most people want to go back to the trauma or to your childhood. And so I reckon this could have a bit of a reputation for being a bit easier, like a bit more client friendly. What would be your take on that?
Absolutely. It depends what your goal is. I don't think of hypnosis as the be all and end all, but it's a really useful tool to have. And like you said, if you want to go straight to the root cause, you're done. Because there's about 5 to 10% of what we do is our conscious minds. This is you being present and aware. And 90 to 95% is all the stuff that lies under the surface, all those previous experiences or programs or stories that I call them. And so with hypnosis, we go straight back into the stuff that you can't see on the surface. And when you finally understand what's going on for you, then you actually can shift and change the behavior. Before we have awareness, we can't really do anything about it. So it's definitely a practice with the right clinician where you can, it's a bit of a more of a directed therapy, but while using the skills of teaching yourself how to relax and getting to the solution a lot faster.
Okay. So if you were to work on an issue with hypnotherapy, let's say, for example, that everyone on this podcast would have mum guilt.
Yes.
Most people feel it. If you've got mum guilt, I reckon that means you're a good mum. That's just my personal opinion. I'm like, if you feel guilty and you don't feel like you're doing enough, it probably means you're doing a good job. Mm-hmm. So let's say mum guilt, and let's say you watched your mum not take rests or whatever it is, your story or your limiting belief set that you've watched.
I'd be like, just thankful and at ease and present with my kids and say yes to more of me rather than saying no out of the fear of letting the kids down. So that's one way to do it. You develop your own reporting or you give your mind new suggestions around that. However, if that isn't enough, because it takes around 1 month anyway to still, with listening to regular recordings, have that belief installed, that isn't enough, then you might want to go back to the root cause and then reparent that belief. So that would look like you actually giving your mum maybe back her stories that you've accidentally received as your own. Or it could look like you reparenting yourself, even as an adult, in visualization practice, seeing that version of you or a time where you felt really guilty and be like, hey, it's okay. You're doing the best you can. You don't actually need to feel guilty. But the key is that it's in that relaxed state. Because if you're trying to do it on a conscious level or just through willpower alone, it's not enough to give you the results that you really need. It's through the relaxed state that we can actually create difference. So it depends what you need at the end of the day and what's right for you and your situation.
Okay. And this is, would this be why some people talk about manifesting and meditation and visualizing, because you are in a better state to take that on? Is that linked?
Yeah, absolutely. Meditation, you're also entering a similar state to hypnosis, but hypnotherapy is just a bit more directed. You're addressing a specific issue and need, whereas meditation practices can have elements of that, but not to the same extent that you go through with hypnotherapy. But that's very much the case. And with manifestation, it is, okay, let me create the outcome before I experience it, right? It's that faith approach. And the same way with hypnotherapy, it's what does it feel, not feeling confident? It'd be practicing confidence by creating the emotional state in your body while thinking thoughts that would help create that emotional state. And then it might be some behavioral steps around going out and practicing, being confident and letting everything catch up. But you're already embodying it before it happens, which is the whole practice of manifestation. So there's definitely elements of that.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. So how would hypnotherapy be helpful with ADHD specifically?
With ADHD, there's a lot of struggles with focus, emotional regulation, being present, all of those different things, plus a whole lot more. If we can learn to support our mind, first to bring more relaxation to our body. If you're in a constant fight or flight state, you can't necessarily receive the health and healing that's best for your body. So part of it is learning how to relax more deeply. And in the relaxed state, we actually heal more. Secondly, if there are challenges, say at home, the kids are going crazy and your program or your belief system is, I'm overwhelmed. I can't cope. It's all too much. Whatever you put out will keep getting mirrored and reflected back to you. So part of that then would be, how could I show up in the chaos and still feel present, have a different program playing out? That's when I do see with a lot of beautiful mums, because it is, not a mum myself, but because it is crazy and you have so much you have to do all the time. But we can't, it's really important to be able to shift the program to still embrace the chaos, recognize that it's a part of your reality, but change the program, because the more that you see stress or overwhelm, the more you're going to experience stress and overwhelm. It's that as soon as you start thinking to yourself, oh, I'm really tired. And then that's like a CD track going on and on again. It's like, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I'm really tired. Then before you know it, you're like, I'm even more exhausted than I thought possible. But if you were to catch that story and change it with, my body's needing rest, but I can still be present here now, that would create a different response in your body. And you could respond differently to what was going on for you. So it can help with the challenges at home by giving your mind new programs to accept your reality, but be better equipped to deal with them. It can also help with addiction. If we're feeling overwhelmed, sometimes we naturally get drawn to addictive behaviors to help us cope. So it helps us follow and find healthier alternatives. It can help with sleep if there are challenges around that. Also with anxiety, a lot of the anxiety is around having a future fear, or my worst case scenario gets triggered right away. We can install new beliefs about a better reality, just a healthier, more balanced thought around the future. And even with like confidence or social anxiety, you can install some new programs there as well. There are many different ways that it can help with ADHD. And it's just a really useful tool to help you access and address more of the person that you want to be. Feel more equipped to deal with life's challenges, essentially.
That's really interesting, because a lot of mums will be familiar with, like, in the morning. Well, it's actually similar for all people, regardless of whether you're a mum or not, where you wake up in the morning and something happens. And then you think, oh, this hasn't been a great day. And you start to have that running. And then it's hard for me to know sometimes whether I'm not having a good day because my kids are psychotic, or are they not having a good day because they've picked up on my mood? Which one is it first? Am I having a terrible day because they've woken up on the wrong side of bed, or have they picked up on my mood? Which one was first? Did I get in a bad mood? Because I'm keen to blame them, right? I'm like, oh, it's their fault. If they were better behaved and if they weren't so nutter, then I would be having a better day. But sometimes at the end of it, I've kind of gone, well, I've probably done too much work-wise. I'm really low on energy and I'm actually not able to handle them in the way that I don't want to use the should word, but I probably could have rested more the day before to be more ready for the Saturday, because now I'm exhausted. I'm trying to get to tennis at 8 o'clock and I'm pretty impatient. Yeah. And then there's that cycle.
Absolutely. And you made a fantastic point. When we started the conversation, there was recognizing that the key, I guess, new program suggestibility time just on a daily basis is in the morning. And often what happens is we're entering this different brainwave state, but we're entering this state with the same programs from the day before. Like you were saying, it can be, oh, I'm overwhelmed, I can't cope, it's all too much, or, you know, my kids are being little challenges today, blessings, but challenges. And then when you think a certain thought, your physiology then matches that. So if your thought is feeling overwhelmed, your body will create the emotional state that you've connected and paired with feeling overwhelmed or feeling you can't cope. So even for 5 to 10 minutes in the morning, practicing, if you don't have time to meditate or like begin directed hypnotherapy, using that time to start thinking about the opposite. What would it look like to fill your own cup, have energy? What thoughts would you be having to then go into your day feeling more confident and competent? And for myself, the days that I haven't done that practice, I've noticed a huge difference. It's like your day runs itself. You find yourself in all the habitual patterns and you're just falling and following everything you've already done before. Whereas if you start your day with a hypnosis or a meditation, you're starting your day in control and already aware of what could come ahead for you. So you're better prepared for the challenges while you've also primed your brain and given it a plan B. So unless your brain has an alternative option, it will always default to the original program. So if your original program is today is going to be a challenge and there's no alternative, like, oh, today might still be okay, it will always default back to today is going to be a challenge. So you want to give it some new programs, but capitalize on those prime times that you already have that are free first thing in the morning, right?
Yeah. And look, we all know we shouldn't scroll in the morning, right? Or before bed. We all know that, yeah. Right? But, and I'm not going to pretend that I'm Buddha and I don't do that. I do. But I went through a period of time where I didn't do that. And it was probably at your advice, Jess, because you've given me some great advice over the last 4 years, 4.5 years, actually nearly 5 years.
No.
And one of the pieces of advice that you gave me that you wouldn't probably remember, a lot of the time Jess gives me advice and it takes me about 6 months. Like, it's like she gives it to me, I'm not ready for it. And then it takes me about 6 months to be like, this is what Jess was telling me. Mm-hmm. And the advice that you gave me at one point was, if you look for the negative, you'll find it. If you look for the positive, you'll find it. And for a while there, I'm not doing it currently, but I should, the should word, is I was writing down just in my phone. So you can have those timers. I think you actually suggested this. You can time off all of your social media and just have your notes on. And I was just typing into my phone the good things about the two people in my house that I find the most triggering, which would be my husband and my middle son. And it's always a roller coaster. And I felt like I was quite negative in my lens. Mm. I was looking at what my husband wasn't doing and I was looking at what my son was doing that was irritating others, like turning off the TV when everyone's watching it. That would start a big argument that I have to clean up. And I had this lens on of like, those two people are doing things to upset me, or they're not doing the right things. And that was the lens I was looking at them. And I couldn't find a lot of positive. But when after 6 months, when you told me that advice and I eventually started doing it, I noticed that there was so much positive when I actually looked at it. And then what I was saying to my husband and my son majorly changed. I was like, great job. I was noticing then all the positives. Instead of noticing my husband hasn't put out the rubbish, well, he's actually went to the shops and got food and cooked. But I'm just focusing on the fact he hasn't taken the rubbish out, which is completely unfair. So I suppose that goes back to as well, like when you're in those states, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about the people in your house or in your life that haven't been doing things, or what you've not done? Or what are you then layering those important times with?
Absolutely. A really simple metaphor is a gold coin. You don't just have heads on your coin, you have tails as well. So even for me, if I'm in the midst of feeling anxious or frustrated, and I know my lens is focusing just on one program or one story or possibly else, the habit now is to shift it to, okay, what's the other side of the coin? And do some intentional thinking around what is that actually that I might be missing? And then, like you were saying, it's like a snowball effect. Just as we snowball the negative, we can snowball the positive. And the more we feed the positive, the more we can create balance in our approach and be more responsive, not just reactive to the situation. It also helps with the love sandwich, right? We talked about relationships in a previous episode, where we can learn to see the good, acknowledge it first, give the room for improvement comment, and then finish with the good. But that's actually more important for us, to help us see that this person just isn't all bad, hasn't done all the wrong thing. And we create more balance in our response then, which also makes the other person more receptive as well.
Absolutely. So if we think about trauma and ADHD, because often that can be confusing, because trauma symptoms can look like ADHD. It can be really confusing, especially as an adult, to backtrack and figure out what was actually there. How does trauma play out into hypnosis?
Yeah, beautifully put. I just want to say that hypnosis isn't necessarily for everyone. There are generally screeners or tools that we use to discern if it is right for you. So if you are highly dissociative, EMDR might be a better option for you, or a specific trauma therapist. If you've got schizophrenia, psychosis, extreme levels of anxiety or depression, again, it's a tool that you can use to support you on your journey. But with those conditions, other therapies are recommended and there's more evidence for them than hypnosis. So it's not going to be suitable for you. But with general trauma, most of our issues and challenges do often start from some kind of trauma. And trauma is essentially a moment in time where we felt really helpless and that we didn't have the ability to cope with what was going on. And we assign this as a defining moment for us. We made meaning at that time. And since that time, our body has remained a bit stuck. It feels like that meaning that you made back then still applies now. So a lighthearted metaphor that I use is, when you're growing up, you get told Santa Claus is real, for some of us, right? And for many years, you might believe that Santa Claus is real, until one day someone says to you, sorry, sweetheart, Santa Claus is actually not real. You're believing something that isn't true. And so you have to shift your reality altogether. And so what we do with hypnosis is we go back to those moments and we start to shift your belief system. And the beautiful thing about the root cause work, so to speak, or even just general conversational hypnotherapy, which is very similar, it's just relaxing you and talking you through everything, but that monkey mind quietens off long enough that you can actually process what's going on for you. We start to figure out, okay, when I was 6 years old or when I was 10 years old, I had this situation and this is the sense that I made of it at the time. But I can see now as an adult that that meaning doesn't actually fit my context anymore. Because now I'm a mom. I've got kids. I've got freedom to choose what I'm going to do. I've got a husband. Completely different to when I'm a kid at home, not being directed what to do, where to go, exactly. All those kind of situations. And we help your brain see that you're not there anymore and you're actually safe. And the other big thing around it, for so many of my clients, there's this sense of feeling out of control and just confusion. Why is my reality being created the way it is? Why can I not seem to step off the train that's going full speed ahead? You pause long enough and you gain some understanding, you go into your second week with new clarity and you start to see that actually I'm doing this because when I was 8 years old, I believed this, accidentally sponged it up, and I've been living that way ever since, but I don't have to be that anymore. And there's so much freedom and liberation with that. And another thing it can help with is also a sense of personal safety, because often we don't feel safe in our mind and body to go back to those places that we know cause challenges for us. And even sensations in our body feel scary and overwhelming. So we can use hypnotherapy to rebuild safety for ourselves and to explore some of the shadows or those darker parts to heal and move through them.
Wow. Jess has got the best hypnotherapy voice as well, by the way. It's like, so calming. Jess is at some point going to have a baby and I'm like, you should just talk to your baby and then your baby will just like go to sleep. Just be like, baby, go to sleep.
Oh,
it's such a calming voice.
It's really funny. Because as babies, we pick up a lot in the womb. I'll be gone from the get-go. I tell you, I'll be hypnotized for success. Pick the cards for calmness.
That's so funny.
That I've seen clients where, I mean, the unconscious mind, it's fascinating. But you create enough space to go back and there'll be something around them being in the womb and there'll be a trauma going at the time. And even in that space, they've received it. So the anxiety symptoms they're experiencing as an adult is being played out now. My hypnotherapy instructor, Marissa Pia, who trained me through RTT, she is an example of one of her clients. And this woman was in her 30s and experiencing severe anxiety and panic. And she would always notice her heart racing. And they went on to hypnosis practice. And the root cause memory was her locked in a room. And she was living in Africa at the time. And there was a man with a machete outside. And so the physical response that had been carried throughout was actually due to a trauma that had happened when the baby was in the womb picking up her mom's heartbeats. It's always the most bizarre, random moments that we think count for nothing that actually can manifest as adults. And when we start doing the work, we start then freeing ourselves and understanding why to then choose something different and to find more freedom for ourselves. But it's probably good to chat about some of the myths around hypnotherapy as well. There can be fears that it's going to be used as mind control or that someone, you won't be fully present, able to respond to what someone's saying. But the amazing thing is, it is essentially a slight trance, but you're in control of the whole experience anytime. And with therapeutic hypnotherapy, you're actually talking and dialoguing through the experience. It's not generally one-sided, unless you want that at the end of maybe you've done some coaching and you want some guided hypnotherapy where you just want to sit and receive based on what you've both worked to together to come and develop for you. And yeah, so the main thing is you are in control and you can leave at any time, but you also can pick and choose what's right for you as well. So there's a sense of safety there and just knowing and trust that you can receive what's necessary for you. Do you have any other myths or have you had any other fears around hypnosis?
Probably the only myth that I would really be familiar would be the one that someone would have in their mind, like, oh, I tried that for smoking. It didn't work. That doesn't work on me. Hypnosis doesn't work on me. A lot of people, I think, have that running.
Yeah, absolutely. As we mentioned, because there are a couple of different approaches and there are even different certifications with different methods as well. Try a couple if you're finding that it's not working for you. But a lot of people, I've had some clients where in one session, their issues completely resolved and they've been able to see the world through a completely different lens. Phenomenal. There are others where it takes around a month of listening consistently to a program before they've actually, or my recording, then to actually experience a shift. And why this is the case is the subconscious or the unconscious is what you're not conscious of, what you're not aware of. So the rewiring is happening in the background. And then it takes around a month for us to start to notice a difference. So an example of this would be if you have anxiety around driving in the car, you might listen to the recording for the first month. You might be picking up bits and pieces, new language, new ways of thinking about it, but the anxiety might still be present. Usually around the 1 month mark, you'll go in the car and all of a sudden the anxiety would have shifted. And your experience will feel different. You'll feel more confident. You'll feel like you can trust your instincts. You'll be present. So usually it takes around 3 months on total to create a new belief and to reinforce it. We can start noticing changes. For me, it's around the 2 week mark, but especially around the 1 month mark, the way that you believe about something changes and it will get you by surprise because like we're saying, it's an unconscious shift. It's not something that you're just, oh, I can see how I'm changing here. Happens a bit differently. Yeah.
So who would hypnosis be for and who would it not be for? Just in case if there's anyone listening that thinks, oh, we'll go and book in and actually probably shouldn't.
So as we mentioned earlier, there's schizophrenia, psychosis, bipolar, extreme depression, extreme anxiety. The hypnosis is not the best practice for you. There are other options there. If you're struggling with, say, anxiety or feeling generally overwhelmed in day-to-day life, but you're still managing to get through, it's very much for you. Hypnosis can be used for performance. It can be used for just giving you more helpful coping skills. I said, often we already have the coping skills within us. We just can't follow through with applying them. Hey, go meditate. You're like, kidding. How am I going to do that? So hypnosis can help you seem to find the time, which you probably already had, but work with it better to help you improve in that way. It can even work on kids as well, because it's all about being suggestible and imagination is a fantastic tool. And kids, they're still sponges. So if your child is struggling, that can also be something worth exploring as well. But with them, I've worked with quite a few clients with ADHD And because your minds are so brilliant when it comes to creativity and imagination, it's often incredibly easy for you to go back to those memories that need to be healed, rewritten, and resolved, and then to make those connections moving forward. So that's also, it's wonderful for that as well.
Okay. So if you hypnotize somebody, what would be some benefits that would possibly happen?
The first thing is, yeah, developing understanding, knowing your why. Why am I doing this? Why am I feeling overwhelmed? Secondly, it would be, yes, learning how to reparent yourself to meet your own needs. Because often as a mum, your needs are everywhere else, right? And you are the first one. It's mum guilt. Like, I must take care of everyone else. And meeting your own needs doesn't have to be some huge extravagant act. It could be if you're feeling your words affirmation person and you're being quite critical on yourself, you might install a cheerleader system instead, where you're there in the background going, Jane, you've done an amazing job. You're doing fantastic. I'm so proud of you. And you've got this. You're capable. You've got phenomenal coping skills. Having that program play out as well. It's also just like we're saying, fantastic when it comes to installing new coping skills for yourself, the ones that you already have, increasing them or helping you develop new ones as well. And from all of that, ideally, you'd feel empowered. You'd have a greater sense of control of your circumstance and an increased sense of self-safety, knowing that you don't have to run from yourself, but you can actually meet yourself, you know, develop a healthier relationship with your mind and body to help you better respond to everyday life. And also, if you've got a family, right, it's great to take that time out for you to then recharge your cup, change some of the narratives, and then be more present with your family because you're not caught up in the stories that aren't serving you and actually creating more anxiety and stress for you. Because your situation may not change. Maybe it can, maybe it not, but your belief system can change to help you better feel better equipped to handle those situations and enjoy your life more and feel more empowered.
Wow, I love that. I suppose there'd be a lot of people that would be not wanting to pass on their stuff to their children. But, you know, when your children are little is when they're most suggestible, but it's also when you're the most busy.
Yeah.
That was interesting because really, maybe it should be like before you get pregnant, you should really do hypnosis and sort out all your own issues.
Yeah.
And then have a baby clean slate. But look,
absolutely,
that's probably not really going to happen. But
One of the challenges I see with mums is that because you become aware of how suggestible and impressionable your children are, you are very mindful of how you respond. But because there's so much stress going on for you, you then become critical of the ways that you have responded, or you're constantly reflecting on, could I have done that better or better? Oh no, what have I done? How are they going to take that? So we can use hypnosis again to install the cheerleader, but also to help you manage your stress better, to be able to respond differently in those times of extreme stress as well. If you're noticing that, well, I'm not responding in the way that I actually want to, or it's not the best outcome for me and them.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's kind of like when you talk about parenting a hypothetical child, it's so much easier because you're like not stressed and you're well rested and you're like, oh, I'm going to make food from scratch every day for their lunchboxes. And then fast forward a few years and you're like, oh my God, I can't even imagine having enough time to do that. But yeah, it's always funny hypothetically that you think you can and then you kind of get stuck. But I suppose that's where hypnosis can help.
Yeah.
That you would kind of unstuck some of your old patterns of belief.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other ways I also should mention, if with some clients, it's with weight loss, or it's with, I don't know, smoking or drinking, or those, when you're in stress, we naturally default to those strategies or those tools as a way to help us calm down, especially if ADHD is more of the hypervigilant, hyperactive side of things. And you're feeling like, okay, I need alcohol to actually calm my nervous system. But we can learn through hypnosis to help you in natural ways start calming your nervous system a bit more and to have other options instead of, say, alcohol or smoking. And then with weight loss, it's similar thing. It's we're absorbing the beliefs from our parents. So how do we then start shifting and resolving what isn't ours, letting go of those old beliefs to see ourselves as the healthiest, best version of ourselves as well?
Beautiful. So have you hypnotized anybody with ADHD before?
Yes. Yeah. I work with clients on the NDIS now. I've worked with a couple of actresses with ADHD, a lot of CEOs, business owners, and just general participants on the NDIS that have ADHD and quite a few moms as well.
Okay. And what would, if someone was thinking about doing hypnosis and then listening to this and they're like, what will happen when I get there?
So the first session, it's just a bit of an information gathering session. Firstly, we focus on making you feel safe and supported. So you know that throughout this whole journey, you're in full control and that you can speak out and communicate what's right for you and what isn't working. It's a bit of a collaborative approach. So we'll gather your history. And then from there, we'll start really identifying the root or the issue that you want to focus on. That will look like exploring what are the situations that trigger you? What are the thoughts that you have that aren't serving you? What are the feelings you're having that are keeping you stuck in your body? And what actions do you want to take to move forward? So when we figure out what your habit is, we then start to brainstorm and co-dream together. How would a different version of you respond? What would the ideal version of you do in this situation? And for many of us, we've never actually explored, again, the other side of the coin, even when it comes to our habits. It's like, I can only see myself in one way. And there's a bit of an identity shift that goes on with hypnosis where you start to be able to ask yourself, what else is possible? And that's essential to then allow yourself to start go down the second and third steps of becoming that person that we're both creating in that session. And then from there, in the second session, we actually do, well, either RTT, so the deeper work, the root cause work, or we come together and based on the information you've given me, we create your own hypnosis recording. And you get to listen to my voice, but I think it's always wonderful to do your own. Anyway, your mind and body respond best to your own voice. So I've got some clients where we write it out together and then they'll actually go and record it themselves. They've got their voice that they can listen to and they often get really fantastic outcomes as well. And then the third session is just to check in. It's like, what have you noticed working? What have your challenges been? Do we need to tweak anything in the recording? Have we missed anything that we need to add in if you're not getting the results there? So for the deeper work, sometimes it can take 2 to 3 sessions depending on what's going on for you. I use it as a part of my psychology practice, but not so much the deep work. I'll do visualization elements and I'll also help clients become relaxed, but I'll more so include a part of a guided new belief system at the end. It's kind of like, so in CBT, we call it a reframe, where you challenge the belief and then you look at the evidence for and against, and then you come up with a new belief. So then I'll use just some guided hypnosis in sessions to help you start to install that new belief. And then we can do a bit of a recording and they take that home.
So let's say if there was somebody on this podcast that really wanted to find a good hypnotherapist.
The majority of my clients are telehealth. So hypnosis does work over a screen, but quite a few of my clients prefer in-person as well. You just want to check the certifications because it isn't regulated as much as like becoming a psychologist is. You want to be cautious and just check in. Okay, where'd you get your qualifications from? What's your modality within the hypnotherapy practice? How does this look? Get as much information as you can before making the decision. And like with psychologists, we're all apple, oranges, and pears. So you might see one that's not right for you. Trust your instincts and then be open to explore someone else that might be a better fit for you. And most of them will offer a discovery call, which is just a 15-minute call to see if they're right for you. So using your instincts during that time, don't be afraid to ask the questions as well before you then actually find yourself in the session. Or just ask for a 5 to 10 minute call in advance if they don't have a discovery call option.
Yeah, absolutely. What other questions would people have?
An interesting area that I've been delving more into is, I guess, physical illness or trapped trauma in the body having an emotional cause. I've been having these conversations with a lot more people lately, including I've had my own hypnotherapy around it. Is that something you'd like to touch on quickly?
Absolutely.
Beautiful. So with my own experience and my journey, there was a time where I was having severe migraines and I went through my own hypnotherapy, my RTT practice around this with another beautifully skilled clinician. And it's fascinating. So you go through 3 different scenes to figure out what's the actual cause or what meaning's been made based on your 3 experiences in life. And for me, it was actually a rejection wound that was connected with migraine. And my 3rd scene, my eyes closed. It was something very simple, like a girl next to me was cool. I wasn't. And in that moment, I was rejecting myself. And I felt the exact same stabbing in my right frontal lobe, right front part of my brain, which is where I was experiencing migraines. And since addressing and healing the emotional cause, the physical symptoms haven't manifested since. And I have not had a migraine since. And that was 4 years ago. I'm not saying this is a quick fix. but often when it comes to our physical health, we don't consider the emotional cause of what's going on for us. And a hypnosis is a tool that can help us with that as well. If you're finding something that's reoccurring, it's a beautiful holistic approach that you can use to understand why your body might have created this. Another example would be back pain. I see a lot of clients that are feeling unsupported in their life and they start complaining around or financially struggling. And they're like, wow, I've been experiencing a lot of challenges with my lower back pain. I don't know why that is. It's like, so where are you not feeling supported? And when did that first start for you? And then how do we start creating that physical support for you now in your life? And I find that you start shifting that, the back pain starts healing itself because your body is always communicating and sending you messages. So if you're struggling with something and, you know, often you're feeling really stressed, you've got a lot of cortisol, adrenaline going, 50 things happening in your world, and you start creating or experiencing some physical symptoms, do both. Go to your GP, go to the chiropractor, you know, get all your physical treatment, but also don't neglect the emotional as well.
That's so funny because it's like mum life. I think a lot of people talk about back pain because you're right, so many women complain about it. And a lot of people put it down to carrying babies in the same arm, carrying a heavy baby, rocking the baby. And anyway, it's interesting because I started to get back pain and I was immediately thinking, women are so unsupported in motherhood. Isn't it interesting that they then complain of back pain, which is put down to the physical baby? And that might be true, but what else is there? Because most women are shouldering a lot of the load alone because of the way society is set up, with family not necessarily living nearby. FIFO is a really big thing these days. And a lot of men will choose to do FIFO because that's where you can make great money and you do get to go. It can suit the lifestyle, but for some women, that can be a really hard time because, you know, I had a friend recently, one of my very, very best friends, her husband did FIFO for about 18 months. She had two kids under three and it felt like every time he left, she got COVID, she got influenza, like there'd be some emergency, like their dog got sick, it had to be put down. Yeah. It just felt like every time he left, something major happened and he was working like somewhere ages away, he wasn't able to come back. And I know she said to me, I felt just so alone in those moments because there is nobody to call. I think she locked herself out of her house. There's like, what's she going to do? She's got two kids under three. She's trying to break a window because there's no one to call.
It's, really interesting correlation with that. Through the hypnotherapy training that I went through, they talk about as kids, we learn four different ways to get attention or get our needs met. The first one is when we're a perfectionist or a high achiever. And then there's the carer role. So when we're finding ourselves always exerting compassion and caring for maybe not just our kids, but others as well. Oh, look, I'm a psychologist. How are you going? No, I had a wonderful upbringing, by the way, but I just, obviously here we are. And then the next one is the rebel kid. That's a bad boy, bad girl that was always defining the black sheep of the family. And the final one is the sick kid. Always has something going on. And these are ways to get our needs met and they're adaptive coping skills that, again, our body and mind recreate because it feels like we're still that kid in that same situation, even though cognitively we feel like we're highly advanced and we've moved way past that situation. Your body says, when's the time that I felt like this? I remember this situation. This has worked in the past to help me get my needs met, help me feel safe, help me get attention, help me be seen. Okay, let's recreate it now. Because what does being sick offer you? It gets people caring. It gets them showing up. It gives you a break. It lets you rest. It maybe gives you time off work. Whatever is needed, your body will create it for you. Whatever is repressed, it has to be expressed some way or another. And often that gets stored in our body and then manifests itself as these conditions later on. So it's just good to notice if I'm falling down these things, what do I have to do now as an adult to start addressing them? They're a bit of a stop sign, right? It's like, please stop. You're on the wrong track. And so you can either do the hypnotherapy for the belief reprogramming, but you can also just take action in your everyday life. Get that journal out, start asking yourself, okay, what are the issues going on for me right now? What are my unmet needs? What are my challenges? Where am I not being seen? Where am I feeling stuck? So then how do I create the opposite? What does it look like to create change in my life rather than going down that same pattern again?
Wow. It's whoever thought mum life would be so complicated. Because your thought process, well, mine was, oh, I'll just get pregnant and have a baby and then it will all be simple. And then I'll look after the baby for a bit for the first couple of years, and then it will just be like its own small adult, and it will just get itself ready and go to school, and I'll go to work and I'll just pick it up and it'll be fine. And then you look at the impact that you have on your own child, and it's, and then you're like, oh no, I should have done more work before I started.
Yeah, I hear you. There's constantly things coming up for you as a mom and questioning and reflecting, and could this have been different? Which is then the self-forgiveness piece and the I'm only human, or that radically acceptance piece, right? It's like you've done the best you can at the time with what you had available to you. And if you had other tools, you would have done those as well. And even if you had the other tools, if your subconscious hasn't been programmed or doesn't have the way to support you with that, then they kind of rule each other out, or you'll default back to the subconscious program. No one really teaches us about this.
Every generation, I think, seems to improve a little bit. But I think it's such a valuable extra tool that we can use as humans, mums, for kids, anybody, is hypnotherapy. Thank you so much for your time, Jess. Do you have anything else that you'd like to add before we go?
For your children as well, in the ages of 0 to 7, or even just throughout the lifespan, ideally, making a self-hypnosis or just the practice of getting them to reframe and practice on-purpose thinking, especially in those alpha theta times, is such a wonderful tool that you can use. So if your child's getting bullied at school, that triggers rejection, not feeling enough, feeling like a failure. And that's really challenging for many kids to navigate. You might put on a hypnosis or even talk to them about the opposite version. What would it look like to let that bullying go, but still know that you're enough, that you are valuable, that you are amazing, that you are lovable, and getting them in the practice of receiving that as well. And for some people, they might use them as part of sleep stories at nighttime, or it could be so 5 minutes before they go to bed, you start talking about that with them because they're still in that state. But if they're under 7, they'll be in that state more frequently. So capitalizing on making the most of that time by speaking their specific language can be really helpful for them, or sending them to a hypnotherapist as well.
Beautiful. But thank you so much for your time. That has been really informative, I think. And I think that was practically really helping for people today with something they can get started with.
Thank you as always, Jane. It's a pleasure.
No worries. See you, Jess. See ya. Thank you so much.
The key message here is you are not alone. Thank you for listening. Jump over and join the Facebook community. Submit a review on Spotify or Apple. Follow stories on Instagram. Share an episode with a friend. Everything you do matters and helps spread the word about what ADHD in females looks like.